You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Advertisers of the book used a striking color combination, a blazing orange on a black background. Words in the title were also carefully selected to immediately arrest the attention of Canadian shoppers. The name of the book advertised was Jesus, the Evidence. This provocative title caught people's attention, and many copies of the book were sold. Evidence, that's always a good word to get people's attention. Evidence, that's the word that is so often associated with courts of law and judges and truth. And since this book is about Jesus, and by using the word evidence, the author was obviously trying also to capitalize on the concerns that many people today have about faith and about religion. Is religion true? Is there any evidence that God exists or that Jesus ever lived? Thousands of people have said the same thing. I would believe, I would have faith in Jesus if only I could see some evidence of who he was and what he did. If you are one of those confused or searching individuals who would like to see more evidence about Jesus and the Christian faith, then let me strongly suggest that you not waste your time with the book I have just described. This book, authored by Eon Wilson and entitled Jesus the Evidence, is not only blatant blasphemy, this book is also historically inaccurate, and any respected historian would never use it. It would take entirely too much time to list all of the gross inaccuracies of this book. However, we shall expose the central point the author tries to make. The author tries in vain to argue that the doctrine that Jesus is God is not true, but that this doctrine of Jesus' divinity slowly developed among his deluded followers. Instead of arguing about such a ridiculous idea, attempting to deny that Jesus was God, let's simply look in the Bible. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, we read that when the three wise men who followed the star of the east and who came into the place where the baby Jesus was, they, the Bible says, fell down and worshipped him. Yes, the wise men worshipped this little baby. People do not worship human beings. We might sometimes say that people adore babies, or we might even say that we have a high respect for certain individuals. But when it comes to using the term worship, that immediately indicates a unique relationship between God and man. In Jesus, God became a man, and it was truly as the Apostle John wrote, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And let's also add this point. Jesus himself, in his mature years, boldly claimed his own divinity. In the Gospel of John chapter 10, we hear Jesus saying this, "I and the Father are one." Again in chapter 14, Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." The clear evidence of the Savior's deity is solidly buttressed by many, many more divine expressions found throughout the entire Holy Scriptures. This myriad of names, like the countless stars in a dark sky, brilliantly testify that through Jesus, the promised Savior of the world, divine light has come to drive away the darkness of spiritual ignorance. Isaiah the prophet put it all together when, foretelling the Savior's coming, he said this, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them." And so then we must ask the question, did the prophecy of Isaiah come to pass? Indeed it did. When Jesus was born, the Apostle John spoke of this birth when he said, "In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. And so, my friend, today, if you have any doubts whatsoever that Jesus was God, even before he came to be born as a man, then I urge you to search the Scriptures, for when you do, you will find the evidence overwhelming. For example, centuries before Jesus was even born, Isaiah the prophet wrote of Jesus as Jehovah. The psalmist David and St. Paul and the writer of the book of James speak of Jesus as the Jehovah of glory. Jeremiah the prophet spoke of Jesus as the Jehovah of our righteousness. In Isaiah and in the Gospel of John and in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the first and the last. In the book of Zechariah and the book of Philippians, we hear Jesus called Jehovah's fellow and equal. In Proverbs and Colossians, we read that all things were created for the Savior's glory. Again, the psalmist and the writer of the book of Hebrews call Jesus the eternal God and the Creator. Hosea and Titus refer to Jesus as our great God and Savior. In the book of Romans, St. Paul speaks about Jesus as a God over all. In Daniel, in the book of Revelation, we read about Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew describes Jesus as the Son of God. Again, the Apostle John speaks of the blessed Jesus as unsearchably equal with the Father. Oh, one could list many, many, many more references in the sacred Scriptures which prove beyond all doubt that the doctrine of Jesus' divinity did not evolve over a period of centuries. No, this fundamental teaching of the Christian faith was established already from the beginning. This is a crucial teaching of the sacred Scriptures, and without this, the Bible would be little more than a book of human morality. Confused and perplexed, maybe this is the way you feel because you have heard so many different and conflicting stories about who Jesus is and what he did. But let me assure you, you are not alone. During Jesus' public ministry, the Savior's enemies used every trick and scheme in the book to discredit him. The public was confused, the sincerely religious were perplexed. Ugly rumors were contrived and promoted to destroy the faith of the Savior's loyal followers, but the overwhelming evidence of the Blessed Redeemer's own miraculous deeds shined brightly in the darkness of anti-God and anti-Christ hatred. This was most evident, of course, in the situation involving a man called Lazarus. Lazarus was a brother of Mary and Martha, and a close friend of Jesus. Lazarus had become ill, and his friends became extremely concerned. They knew that if something was not done soon, their friend would not survive. They asked Jesus to help. However, by the time Jesus arrived on the scene, Lazarus had already died. Friends of the deceased grieved. Jesus, however, took command of the situation. He approached the tomb, and in a loud voice, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." For 4 days, yes, for 4 days, that's how long Lazarus had been in the tomb. Nevertheless, in response to Jesus' divine command, Lazarus came forth from the dead. This was indeed a stunning event for all who were present to witness. But that was only the beginning of the impact that Jesus was to make in public as a result of his miracles. For example, sometime later a great crowd had gathered around Jesus, but the Bible tells us the people did not come to see Jesus. They came to see Lazarus, the one that Jesus had miraculously raised from the dead. The Apostle John records the account when he writes this. "Therefore, the Jews learned that Jesus was present, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. But the chief priests took counsel that they might put Lazarus to death also, because on account of Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, many of the Jews were believing in Jesus." Oh, my friend, people can do anything they want to try to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ, but the evidence supporting the deity, yes, the divinity of the Lord Jesus, is insuppressible. The biblical facts surrounding Jesus are more than mere interesting insights of history. The words and the work of Jesus touch the lives of every living person, including you and including me. With his divinity and with his eternal role of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus now stands at this hour at every hospital bed to help. He lingers with love inside every prison cell, and Jesus waits to help and to heal all who receive him as Savior and Lord. No problem is too great, no frustration is too futile, and no obstacle is too impossible. This is the Jesus that you need for your body and for your soul. Don't hesitate then to call upon the Master of Mercy, and don't delay the Savior's call to lay all your worries into his opened hands. Don't delay the opportunity of this hour to welcome into your soul that one who is able to make all things new. By faith then, my friend, leave the days of discouragement and despair forever behind you, and step out boldly. Yes, my friend, step out into a new life of hope. Give thanks to your Heavenly Father. By faith in Jesus, God shall qualify you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In Christ, God has delivered you from the domain of darkness, and he shall transfer you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Because in his Son Jesus, no matter how unworthy a sinner you may feel at this moment, you have redemption, the forgiveness of your sin. Yes, now is the time to reject all those who would attempt to defame or destroy the Savior, including those who write books trying to deny the deity of Christ. Now is the time for you to turn away from all those who are tempting you to abandon the Redeemer. Instead, with a simple faith, believe in Jesus, for he is indeed the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. Yes, Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. It was the Heavenly Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus, and through the Savior to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Yes, Jesus Christ is indeed King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And because of who Jesus is, you today have a reason to hope, a reason to look up, and a reason to live. And so let your moments of moodiness be driven away from your mind as you cling to the certainty of the blessed Savior's death and his victorious Easter resurrection. In his divine mercy, this Jesus is calling you to come to him and to live with him under his lordship. In Jesus Christ, the doubts of your heart will be turned into solid and immovable pillars of faith. For your family and for your home, faith in the Lord Jesus shall bring true forgiveness and real harmony. Grudges will be removed, and peace and joy will begin to take root. No one could better describe Jesus than the writer of the book of Colossians, who aptly stated that it is in Jesus, the eternal Word incarnate, that all things in the whole world hold together. This is true for your life, and it is also true for your entire family. This is the Jesus that you need today. He will provide a faith for you and for your family that will remove all doubts about religion. This Jesus shall once and for all eliminate all anxious searchings for true spirituality. This Jesus, as a person, shall come to live in your home. This Jesus wants to be present at your meals, and he is waiting to be at your bedside every night so that you can lay your head down with full confidence that all is okay and that, God willing, you shall rise anew for the morrow. One can make these wonderful promises to you because they are all found in the Bible, and the Bible gets its authority from the mouth of God. And so, my friend, the next time you feel confused about faith or religion or the Bible, Just think about Jesus. In Jesus, all things hold together, and all things then have meaning. Away then with all those who would write books or try to make arguments that seek to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, away with all those who foolishly try to deny the Savior's deity and his divinity. These authors shall also someday die, and then they shall, on the day of judgment, meet face to face with this Jesus whom they in vain have tried to destroy, and who, the Bible says, will then also be their judge. Oh, my friend, today is the day. Yes, now is the hour for you to rise up in sincere repentance and faith, and to consider Jesus, and then to courageously speak the words of the disciple Thomas, who said, "My Lord and my God." At the very moment of your confession, the loving and protecting arms of your blessed Heavenly Father shall be wrapped around you. Divine protection shall be yours. Divine protection shall be established in your heart. And even in the midst of your present difficulties, you will be enabled to say with a joy-filled heart, "Behold, all things are now new." Yes, my friend, it is through faith in Jesus Christ that you and your entire family can possess the real and lasting hope for this life and also for the life to come. Amen.